This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard, given on the 2nd of July, 1964. The title of this lecture is O.W. Modernized and Reviewed. This tape is 92 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
All right, what do we got here? We got a date? 2nd of July. There is a date, all right.
And this is the subject of O.W., Modernized and Reviewed. Now, this lecture is given into the teeth of the fact that it is notorious that very few Scientologists would ever inquire very deeply as to just exactly what was did. This is given into the teeth of that knowledge. And there's a good reason for that. In order to do something for somebody, you have to have a communication line to that person. Communication lines depend upon reality and communication and affinity. And where an individual is too demanding, the affinity tends to break down slightly, and the Scientologist is very afraid of breaking that affinity line with his PC. And so he doesn't want to break that affinity line with his PC, so he never then gets to the second stage of processing. Processing goes in two stages. One is to get into communication with that or which you are trying to process. That's number one. And number two is do something for him. And there's many a PC will go around raving about his auditor, whose auditor has not done anything for the PC. All that has happened is a tremendous communication line has been established with the PC, and this is so new and so novel and so strange to the PC that he then considers that something miraculous has occurred. Well, yes, something miraculous has occurred, but in this particular instance, the auditor has totally neglected why he formed that communication line in the first place. He formed the communication line in the first place to do something for the PC. And he very often mistakes the fact that he has formed a communication line and the reaction on the PC for having formed one with having done something for the PC. There are two stages here. Is one, form a communication line, and two, do something for the PC. Those are two distinct stages. That is something like walking up to the bus and driving off. Do you see? There's two stages. You walk up to the bus, and then you drive off. If you don't drive off, you never go anyplace. So many an auditor bogs down at this one point of walking up to the bus, which is putting in a communication line with the PC, and then they never go anyplace. Do you see that? And where auditing broadly breaks down and you say, well, Mamie Glutz had lumbosis and we're going to have to make a list of Scientology diseases. That's one of them. Mamie Glutz has lumbosis and she loves her auditor, but she's still got lumbosis. Now, exactly what has happened is the auditor has formed his communication line to the PC, has actually done this heroic thing of getting in communication with the PC, and that is very tricky, and that is no small shakes. That's something, to be able to communicate to a human being who has never been communicated to before. This is quite remarkable. And that is such a remarkable feat that it appears to be the end-all of Scientology to some. But you see, that's just walking up to the bus. Now we've got to go someplace. Now how do we go someplace? Well, actually, any upset that the individual has is so poised, it is so delicately balanced, it is so difficult to maintain. You know, you look at this fellow, he's in a wheelchair. You know, and you say to yourself, how is he keeping himself in a wheelchair? And you think, well, it'd be very difficult to get him out of that wheelchair. Oh, no, no. It's very difficult to stay in that wheelchair. That is what's difficult.
Unless you learn this reverse look, you'll have trouble with psychosomatics and things like this, particularly battinesses more than psychosomatics. Psychosomatics are not a good example. A battiness of some kind or another is a much better example because they surrender so easily. This individual is very sure that horses sleep in beds. Now, you don't look at what it takes to maintain that. That is based on such slippery logic that the least little cogwheel goes adrift in it, it'll collapse. In other words, it's very hard to remain batty. It's not difficult to get well, but it's hard to remain batty. A fellow has to work at it. You'll see an odd look coming into somebody's eye sometime or another when you're getting right close to. And you'll see a PC suddenly start veering sideways from you when you start approaching too closely to a piece of battiness. Let's supposing that having formed a communication line, we merely and only did this. We just did this. We didn't worry about these vast complications and this terrific sea of aberration. We didn't do anything. We just said, now what are you doing that's sensible? And why is it sensible? And you know, guys, cases just fall to pieces right in front of your eyes. This is a zone to which I invite your attention. Because it's untrodden, it's virgin, it's native, it's the bush in a completely unspoiled condition. You see, this communication line is only valuable to the degree that you can walk around in your big muddy feet in the midst of all this morass. And if your communication line is very good and very smooth, and if your auditing discipline is perfect, so that you see your auditing discipline is perfect so you don't upset this communication line, then you can walk around in this wild jungle that he calls his ideas. And if you just made a foray of no more importance and no more breadth than what you're doing that's sensible. And why is it sensible? And kept your communication line up the while, and kept your affinity up with the PC the while, did it with perfect discipline, you would see more aberration fall to pieces per square inch than you ever thought could exist. See? Now that's what I mean when I'm saying to you, do something for the PC. See, I tell you, audit well. Get perfect discipline. Get your calm cycle in. Don't ARC break the PC. Let the cycles of action complete. You don't you see? All of that. Well, that is simply an entrance to the, you see, the discipline of Scientology makes it possible to do this. And one of the reasons why other fields of the mind never got any place, they never could get near anybody because they couldn't communicate to anybody, you see? So that discipline is important. That is the ladder which goes up to the door. And if you can't get to the door, you can't do anything, you see? So there's two stages here, two stages. And you're busy completing communication cycles and so forth. And I will admit, sometimes I get impatient with you, you see, because I'm merely trying to teach you how to communicate to somebody so that you can do something for him, you see? And I sometimes believe that your whole attention gets tremendously absorbed in merely communicating with somebody. And you use that as an end-all. See? And I get a little upset because it's something on the order of, well, let's say you're trying to make an actor, you see? It's something like this, and you get them all set on the subject of makeup, you know. We keep standing in the wings made up.
and thinks he's acting. And he isn't. He's standing in the wings. So this perfect discipline of which we speak, the perfect communication cycle, the perfect auditor presence, perfect meter reading, all of these various things are just to get you in a state where you can do something for somebody. And because this is so new, strange, and novel, and is so unheard of in this universe, it looks so startling that you can say, well, that's auditing, that's processing, that's it, that's the end product. Man, that's no more the end product than a can of dog food, see? I mean, it's still there in the can. It's supposed to be eaten, you know? It's the difference between reading a recipe book and dining. So when you're real slow picking up the discipline, when you're real slow picking up keeping in a communication cycle, when you're pokey on this subject and so forth, you see, you're just still 9 miles from the ball, you know. You're not even attending yet. So, what you want to be able to do is audit perfectly. By that, we mean keep in a communication cycle, be able to approach the PC, be able to talk to the PC, be able to maintain the ARC, get the PC to give you answers to your questions, be able to read a meter, get the reactions, be able to do this, be able to do that. All of those little things, you see, they've all got to be awfully good because it's very difficult to get a communication line into somebody anyway. And they all have to be present, and they all have to be perfect. But if they're all present and they're all perfect, then we can start to process somebody. Then we can start to process somebody. And all of that looks so beneficial that you could mistake it for processing. Now, I'm giving you some kind of an entrance point here. If all of your cycles were perfect, if you were able to sit there and confront that PC and meter that PC and keep your auditing reports and do all these other multiple various things and keep a pleasant smile on your face and not chop his communication, and if you can do those various things, now let's find out, what do you do? Because there is something you do with those things. Well, at level 6, this is very easy. You run GPMs. But that's doing something for somebody. And try to run GPMs sometimes without all these other factors near perfect. It's not possible. But let's take it down to a lower level. What could you do for somebody if you were a perfect auditor from the basis of your auditing technique and presence and handling somebody? Now, what could you do? That's the burning question. What could you do? Now, we used to have this all on backwards. We used to try to teach people what they could do for somebody, but they could never get in communication with him to do it. Okay? So therefore, you had failures in processing. Well, the most elementary procedure, what are you doing that you think is sensible, and why is it sensible? That's a perfectly elementary procedure, and the guy would all of a sudden gawp at you. He'd say, oh, no, you know. Because these things are very difficult to maintain as an insensibility. You have to work hard to have a something in crosswise. Horses sleep in beds. All right, you say, well, what are you doing? What do you think is sensible? Or what are you doing that's sensible? Or anything of this sort. The fellow says, well, I think... horses sleep in beds. That's sensible. All right, now why is that sensible? Well, that's nuts. You actually wouldn't have to do anything more than that. See? Now, one of the things that's horrible about all this, it's so easy to do. But you keep looking for some magic. Well, your magic was getting into communication with the person. The rest of it is very easy to do. All you have to do is remain in communication with the person while you're doing this and realize that these huge boulders that he's got in his skull are poised with the most fantastically delicate balance on little pinheads. A little pinpoint balance. And all you have to do is go like that, and this thing goes boom, crash. Now, if you're not in communication with this person, he takes it as an accusative action. He tries to justify thinking that way. He tries to make himself look good to you. He tries to put on a public front of some kind or another, sitting in the PC's chair. He tries to hold up his status. And any time I see a bunch of PCs around jumping happily to something else, because it's only sane people can run on that, you see, and crazy ones run on something else. Well, everybody immediately will have the same computation, so they never have to be run on a crazy one. I right away know their auditors are not in communication with them, that auditing discipline itself has broken down because the PC is trying to justify himself and trying to hold his own status. So he must be defending himself against the auditor. So the auditor couldn't possibly be in communication with him, could he? So right back, we're right back to the fundamental of why didn't the auditor get into communication with the PC in the first place? Well, you get into communication with the PC in the first place by doing the proper Scientology discipline. That is not any trick. It is goes off 1, 2, 3, 4. You sit down, you start the session, you start talking to somebody, and you start handling the PC, and you start handling these problems and that sort of thing. And you do it by completing your communication cycles and not cutting his communication and by this and by that, the very things you're taught in the TRs. And you'll find you're in communication with the person. And where you fail and why he maintains his status is you've gotten into communication with the person, and then you've never done anything for the person. Unless, having gotten into communication, you now do something for the person, you lose, of course, your communication line because the R factor breaks down. He doesn't think you're so good. And you go out of communication with the person. You understand? You can get into communication with the person, then not do anything for the person. The R factor, why you're in communication with the person, can break down. And break down with you. You say, well, here I am in communication with the person. What am I supposed to do now? You'll go out of communication with the person, and you've somehow taken a little circular trip, which was in toward the person and then away from the person, see? All right, that having happened, now the person will be in sort of defensive and status and wonder why he's being processed, and, you see, he could wonder all these questions. It takes a process now. Now you've got to do something for the person, and it takes a process, but it takes an understanding of what a process is. And a process is simply a combination of mental mechanisms which, when inspected, will pass away. All auditing is negative gain. You never add anything to the case. All auditing is subtractive. You're as-ising things on the case, and that's all you're doing. So you say, all right, what do you think is sensible? The guy says horses sleep in beds. Ah, hey, that isn't sensible. Cognition. Total duration of process. See, was that. You actually will get probably get a big blow down or something like that on your e-meter. Be a huge blow down on your e-meter. Now you try to get more tone arm action out of the fact that horses sleep in beds. You don't get there. You flatten the process. So it requires sensitivity to know when the process is flat. You can over audit and under audit. You can try to run the tone arm action out of things which have no tone arm action left in them. And you can walk off and leave things which have a ton of tone arm action left in them. You can do one or the other of these things. But this requires observation of the PC, and it only answers this question. Have you done anything for the PC? Once more, you only have to answer that question. Have you done something for the PC? Well, if you've done something for the PC, you are not likely to get any more tone arm action out of it. This is, becomes elementary, you see. We're breaking this down into one, two. So one, there's the auditing discipline, and two, there's doing something for the PC. If you've done something for the PC, you've gotten the tone arm action out of it. It isn't that you really even do anything for the PC by having the tone, getting the tone arm action out of it. You see, that's simply an indicator of whether you're doing anything or not. I'm beating a dead horse to death now, don't you see? Because this is not, it's not that complicated. It's less complicated than anybody imagines. You say to the PC, what's sensible?
Well, he says, yes. Psychiatry and psychoanalysis and congressmen and elections and governments, they're all sensible, and something is sensible, and something else is sensible, and so on and so on, and they're all sensible. Well, just observe the PC. Have you done anything for the PC yet?
Well, the funny part of it is that your tone arm's going to be moving during this period. You really haven't done anything, really, for the PC yet. And he goes on and he says, well, my old teacher was sensible. My old teacher used to tell me, well, I'd never succeed in the world, and he was right. And he was sensible. He's still getting tone arm action, see? He was... I don't know. Was he sensible or wasn't he sensible? I don't know. You know, I have done some things in life. You don't suppose I could be failing all the time because he was so sure I would? Oh, it doesn't make any sense. You know, I think that man was a blithering ass. I ain't a complete fool. How would he know that I would never succeed in life? He's silly. I don't think he was sensible. No, well, forget about that being sensible. That wasn't sensible. You know, that's why I failed in life. Because he was so sure I would. And I always thought he was so sure. Well, I'll be a son of a gun. Right about that moment, your TA action go bzzz, 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 stop, boom, there's no more TA. Now, you, knucklehead, not having noticed... I should be polite. I laid down a maxim. Always be polite to somebody who's trying to learn something. You don't notice this one answer has come your way. You have done something for him. So now you start beating up the brush to do something for him. This is very bad timing, don't you see? Now, you could go on with the process in some other way, in some other field or some other channel, but you've handled something and you've done something. And if you keep him working on that one thing that you've now done something for him on, your TA action will disappear and your PC will get resentful. And not only will your TA action disappear, but you lose your comm line. Now, let's try to press him. What about this old teacher, see? He's already had the cognition, see? Wow. See, what about this old teacher? When did you know him? Did you have any overts against him? And so forth. Notice your TA. TA's not moving. You're now re-stimulating the PC. You've gotten your key out destimulation factor. It's occurred right before your eyes. You've done something for the PC. Now, hear me now. It's just a matter of, have you done anything for the PC or not? And on any given subject, when you have done something for the PC, your TA action in that zone and area will cease. If there's any TA action to be gained in that area, while you are doing something for the PC, you will get tone arm action. But sooner or later, it is going to run up to having done something for the PC.
See, your TA action is about to do something for the PC, you see. That tells you there's something there that can be done for the PC, and your TA action will go on toward the point where you have done something for the PC, and now this is past tense. Now you're going to get more TA action on his dear old teacher. In a pig's eye, you are. That is a went proposition now. So, it requires of the auditor discipline to keep in his communication line. He's got to stay in communication with his PC. Those cycles have got to be perfect. He can't be distracting the PC's attention onto the TA. I'm not getting any tone arm action now. That's not staying in communication with the PC. It has nothing much to do with it. You're distracting the PC from his own zones and areas, so don't keep his attention out of session, you know. Keep him going on this. Keep that communication line in. And the next requirement is do something for the PC. Do something productive. Use the communication line. Now that you've got the telephone in your hands, for God's sakes, talk. See, there's nothing quite as silly as receiving a transatlantic telephone call where the other person then doesn't talk. They phoned you. I got one not a month or two ago, and the person actually at the other end of the line stood there with a live phone in their hand with nothing to say. Undoubtedly, they had something to say, but they just couldn't think of it time it finally got through. And many an auditor who isn't getting a result with a PC is sitting there with the telephone in his hand, not saying anything. He's got all the lines in. Hello, hello, you there? Oh, yes, I'm here, bright and cheerful. Oh. Okay. Now, too much astonishment to say anything to the PC. Okay. So we go back to putting communication line in, see? Best thing to do is to call back central and find out if we really do have a call to the PC. See? Find out if it was the correct number after all. Call up the rate operator and find out how much it's costing. Do you see? You see, you can walk right up to this crucial point and then die on the vine. You can start getting tone arm action on the PC and then never press it home. This thing, all of a sudden, there's big drop. He says something about, you said, well, let's just take this weird little process. What's sensible, see? And he says, well, the most sensible person I ever knew was my old instructor. Whiff, you know, you got some tone arm. You make a note over here, instructor gave a tone arm action. And so on and so on. And what's the question again? Sensible, sensible. What does sensible mean? Is sensible a sensible word? So forth. No tone arm action there, see? You say, well, look, there was a bit of a tone arm motion there when he said the old instructor. You said something about this old instructor being sensible. Oh, yeah. Oh, terrifically sensible man. More TA, see? Well, have you adopted any of his views or anything like that? Oh, yes. My whole life has been monitored by the views, you see. Hey, big TA going on. We'll go on this way, and all of a sudden he knew the PC was going to fail. PC suddenly gets set in crosswise, you'll see. You'll see a big reaction, and then more reaction, and more reaction. And all of a sudden the PC suddenly cognizes. Maybe that's why I'm failing all the time. See, yeah, that guy's a fool. He wasn't sensible at all. Huh, what do you know about that, see? Big TA action occurs right before that moment. If you're riding right up on your toes, you won't expect another whisper to come out of that old man. You won't ask for another whisper to come out of it? Nothing. That's gone. That is dead. That's as dead as yesterday's newspaper. You see, that's where the tone arm leads you into this. And if I was trying to teach you totally mechanically, I'd say you go ahead and make sure there is nothing flat in there. But actually, your communication line is at risk all the time you're trying to find out if anything else is in that. Your communication line's at risk. You'll have
unplug the whole switchboard.
Well, hell, I told you. I have the cognition, you know. I told you already. How many times do I have to...
There goes your communication line, you see. After a while, you'll get the point. You'll say, look, we're pulling switches out of the switchboard here. We're messing things up. And come off of it.
Actually, if you're very clever, you'll run a process that cyclically produces this sort of thing by a general question so that you don't make that particular goof. You don't have to make the piece of judgment which I just gave you all the time. It took me a long time, and really it took me as an auditor a long time to learn when to give up on somebody. You know, learn when to give up on a subject. I finally got clever and tuned my antenna up on a Martian wavelength and got it up to a point where that thing was flat. I could see that was flat. See? And where, if I pursued it any further, I would now get into trouble. Where I had done something for the PC, and trying to do anything further along that particular line would put my communication line at risk. And I got to a point where I could judge that. Just like that, you know. PC happy, tone arm increasing every session, everything going along swingingly. But let me tell you that it is a very interesting point. It would be something I would be very happy to be able to teach you.
I'm afraid it's something that you learn on the basis of observation. Like in level 6, you're learning that. There is nothing deader than a dead item. When it has give up its ghost, there is no more tone arm action there. If there is any more cognition in it, any more read in it, yes, you could get it out. But you develop a sensitivity after a while as an auditor. You know when it has given up its ghost. And you know that just mentioning it or referring to it one more time is practically fatal. Your PC just feels like he's being ground into the dirt. Just one more mention of that item and you've had it. See? And you'll start to get a tick-tocky needle and other undesirable phenomena sets in, and if you keep it up, you know, well, I'm not sure whether the item's read or not. I didn't have my eye on the meter at the time. Call APC's attention to the meter always if you want ARC breaks. I didn't have my eye on the meter, and I don't really know whether it read or not, and of course I must have seen it read before I can go on, but maybe I missed it. That's one of the most marvelous ARC breaky situations that I could possibly set up, and yet it's one of the commonest ones. Now, let's take this same situation. There was only so much charge, see, on this old instructor or something like that. See, there's only that much charge. You got it. He wasn't an item. He was lock of some kind or another, but boy, you blew it. You've seen it blow. You've seen the PC change before your very eyes. Now, that's the time to unload. That's the time to swing off that freight train and hit the gravel and grab another one. Not necessarily change the process, but certainly don't press that guy any further in the direction of what has just given TA. You could now ask him, but there's ways of asking auditing questions that are part of the communication line. There is a way of dismissing everything you have been talking about while asking the same question as you did before. You know, sort of like, well, all right, we've taken care of that. You've gotten all of that. Good. I'm glad we've finished off with that. All right, now let's get back to the original process now. What's sensible? You get an idea. There is a thing an auditor can do. He doesn't have to say all those things I just said, but that is the way he is building the atmosphere. You know, he acknowledges on the idea, oh, that old tutor you had. Yeah, all right, well, we got that. Good. We got that. Let's go on. Even do a little business here about crossing it all off, you know. And, all right, now we're getting back in the original process. Okay. Here you see, now we say, same audit and question, we say, what's sensible? But he obviously knows that it's now being addressed to some entirely different zone of the mind, And as such, you shift that. You're still doing something for the PC. You follow this? So there's getting up to the bus, and then there's getting in it and going someplace. And you could become a past master at auditing discipline and motions and so forth, and actually have to be a past master at it anyhow before you can carry on the rest of it. Never carry it another 16th of an inch. Have a lot of PCs that absolutely loved you and swore by you who went right on having lumbosis. And you would say, what in the name of heaven has happened to me? What terrible catastrophe am I looking at here? Well, everything is fine, except you're not doing anything for the PC. You got right up to there and got in the bus, but you never drove off any place. You never did anything. That's the whole secret of auditing. It's in two sections. Of course, level six, you do it so fast that you hardly get a chance to... You call this, and boom, it goes, and that's the end of it. And, of course, there it's predicted where the charge is going to be, and you know what's going to fire and all that sort of thing. So you say, well, this is something different. No, it isn't any different at all. Cleverer auditing is below four. You've got to be clever. There's ways of asking auditing questions, which is the same question, which could make the PC believe implicitly that his answer had not been accepted. I'm sure we've all had at one time or another this trouble. We've repeated the auditing question, and the PC thinks his cognition has been invalidated. So then, to prove to him that his cognition has not been invalidated, we preserve our communication line by wildly changing a process that is not flat as a general process. And that is one of the most flagrant examples. And that is the most... general reason why auditors run lots of processes. They haven't mastered the trick of convincing the PC that his cognition has been accepted and that they're all done with that particular zone or area of the process, and that the process that is being run is now expected to go into some other zone or area. Direction of attention, this comes under. You can do some pretty wild things with direction of attention. You can exaggerate this up like mad. PC says, oh, yes. You're asking me sensible. Oh, yeah. Textbooks. Yeah. Big blowdown scene. You say, what's with textbooks? Oh, well, God, you know, they pretend they're sensible. Nobody can make any sense out of them at all. Gone. The TA now is gone, then. You understand it. That's as far as you're permitted to pursue it. You've now done something for the PC. It isn't manifested in any degree that you will notice right there at that moment. But how do you now convince the PC that your next same auditing question is not actually going to be addressed to textbooks? Well, there are crude mechanisms for doing it. All right, we've taken care of textbooks. Now, in some other zone or area, what's sensible? That's doing it with an axe. We got your communication. We consider that that particular zone or area is complete, and we're not asking you to do anything more in that zone or area because you've already gotten the tone arm action out of that. Now, asking exactly the same auditing question, but addressing it to some other zone or area of the mind, what's sensible? See, this is the message which you're putting across in the middle of your communication line. Now, you could do some weird things with cases. Quite unbelievable what you can do with a case, steering them around in this particular zone on some general process. Now, this is not running an alternate process. This is really not running ITSA. This is merely a finished method of handing a process to a PC is running to cognition. And that's actually not new. It's running the PC to cognition. But it's on the same thing, and nearly everybody has understood running to cognition changed the process when the PC is cognitive. Well, that is very far from true. You change the subject of the process on the cognition. You don't change the process. Your process can be far too specific. It can be a sub-process. Right around the vicinity of this rug, you see, have you ever made a footprint? See? Well, it's so circumscribed as an auditing question that it's really a sub-question anyhow. So what you really want to run on a PC is a broad question, which you've already established, and running to cognition is knocking off the sub-cognitions on it. Now you take something as broad as what's sensible. Ooh, that's broad. Now, of course, putting footprints on this rug. See, that's sensible. I don't know why it's sensible, he suddenly said. Do you know, I see a rug of this particular type, and I always have to put a footprint on it. That's real crazy. I think it's Wadsworth or somebody. Footprints on the sand of time. Yeah, it already... Yes, I learned the poem when I had scarlet fever. Yeah. No, there was a rug in the room, the same as the rug in this room. Oh, that's what that's all about. All right, good. You've had your blowdown. All right, that's fine. Now, aside from that, and footprints and that sort of thing, which we've got and so forth, what's sensible? This is parking it. That's how to really smartly run by cognition. Be smarter and tack if you pursue this particular course. But I'm warning you that that particular approach requires some sensitivity on the part of the auditor. He has to ask himself this question continually. What have I done for the PC? I used to run an auditing session until I had done something for the PC. You take a short attention PC, particularly. The session was exactly as long as it took me to do something for the PC. And horribly enough, some of those sessions would go 4 or 5 hours. And I thought they would run as long as 15 minutes. But that's because we never got into the communication cycle necessary to do something for the PC. And it would take maybe that long to establish a communication line before we could start to ask the PC what's cooking. See? You'll sometimes start asking an alternate question of a PC back and forth. And notice that the answers are dodgy. These are dodgy answers. We'll merely and completely recognize out of that dodginess just one thing, that your communication line to the PC has failed in some particular way. I'll give you an example. You start to process a child on the idea of what problems do you have. Going to process this child, you see. And the child is sitting there very dodgily answering this question. And they appear to be very reluctant to answer the question. You realize that this reluctance isn't really any withhold or anything. It's just that the child cannot talk to you. Then you suddenly realize that the process you should have started in on was, what could you say to me? You maybe process the child on something very fundamental, like what problems do you have, and get no place because you aren't doing anything for the PC, so therefore you get minimum tone arm action and so forth. Well, you haven't established communication line to the PC. You shift your gears and ask something that has nothing to do with the child has been sick, let us say, and the child feels badly, and there's a lot of things wrong with this child, and you shift off onto a process such as, what could you say to me, and what would you rather not say to me? And you say, well, there's lots of mechanisms in this, such as withholds coming off and all that sort of thing. But the surprising thing about it is you now have tone arm action, you now have a session running, because you're getting in your communication line. At the same time, you're incidentally getting off a few withholds, which is doing something for the PC, too, at the same time you're getting in a communication line. A process like that tends to confuse you. You see why it'd be confusing? Because it's putting in the communication line and it's doing something for the PC at the same time. Well, there are a great many of these processes in Scientology which get in the communication line and do something for the PC at the same time. So therefore, this breakdown of getting into communication with the PC and then doing something for the PC becomes obscured, because you're doing them both at once. And then you begin to become confirmed in the idea that getting in the communication line is what's doing something for the PC. See, so the whole subject now gets lost all over again. Even though you do then use a combination that accomplishes both at once, don't lose sight of the fact that there are two actions. And you won't make very many mistakes along this line. Now, all of this is really a prelude to O.W. Because O.W. is just about the greatest handy jim-dandy little communication wrecker that an auditor ever had very much to do with. And an auditor loses the ARC he has with a PC a time or two, and he becomes very timid. And he starts asking, do you have any overts? Have you committed any overts? And the PC says, yes. Well, I thought people were mean to me, and it was really an overt to think that against myself. And the auditor says, well, he got off a big overt, and so forth. And they will go on this way, and on this way, and on this way, and on this way, a sort of a motivatorish critical think, you know? And the auditor never tags it, never nails it, never does anything about it, never corrects it. Nothing happens with the PC, and the communication line doesn't improve because the PC is actually running a falsity. And it just winds up in a pile of garbage.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
So you can always ask a question, take the answer, it laid an egg. Well, let's sort out what would be the proper question here now and ask that question, get the answer to that, and acknowledge it. We'll do the PC far less damage if we do it that way. Far, far less damage if we do it that way than if we shift in mid-flight and Q&A. Do you have a present time problem? Yes. Well, what is it about? Oh, gone. Had it now. We've done a Q&A. PC will go just that far out of session. Inevitably, although he looks still looks the same, you don't see it. It doesn't get written on his forehead in letters of fire. He has still done it. Invariable rule, because it busts up the COM formula and does a lot of other things. All right. So how do we approach this problem? We ask a question, if it obviously is the wrong question to ask and doesn't produce the answer, we back out of the same door we went in gracefully by completing the cycle of action always. You're always safer to complete the cycle of action. Now, there are several other things you could do. You could do an interim. I am not asking you questions. I am trying to find out what the responses are on this meter. Like you have to do in prep checking. You say, all right, now, you don't have to answer any of these, but I'm going to ask you several little what questions about this thing and see what the best reaction we get now. What about stealing vehicles? What about killing girlfriends? What about, where were these? What about stealing vehicles? Thank you. I got the what question now. All right. Now let's go back to this incident which you just had there. Good. And we just prep check it. You see, there's a fumble period. I suppose you couldn't dignify it any more than call it a fumble period. You ask a middle rudiment. Here's an example. In this session, have I missed a withhold on you? Cheerily, cheerily, cheerily. See, very happy, perfectly legitimate. You get away with it 89% of the time. Oh, more than that. You probably get away with it 95.5% of the time, you see. It's those other few percent there. And you run into that one head on. Yes. I've been sitting here thinking what a rotten auditor you are. Mean all the instructors are to me. course you'll say thank you. I will check that on the meter. In a session, if I missed a withhold on you. Clank. Now, you see, right there, you've had it. See, you know you're walking through the valley of death. You're walking down the street at sunset, let me put it that way. With Black Bart in town. This is a deadly activity in which you are involved. So you say, all right, thank you very much. Now, have I missed a withhold on you in this session? Yes, I think you're giving me a bunch of no auditing. You know, I've had 20 auditors since I've been here, and you're the rottenest of the lot. Damage, half-truth, untruth. See, we're just compounding this felony, see, madly. So you say, good, thank you. Have I missed a withhold? In this session, have I missed a withhold on you? How far can it go? Well, you can not only take in all the end rudiments, you can also take in all the beginning rudiments. You can get them all out. See, that's the auditor's dilemma. Well, you're asking the wrong auditing question. So it is much safer to do it this way. Oh, yeah, inevitably you will use something like, in this session have I missed a withhold on you for the excellent reason it lets him tell you the thinks and the other things. And you don't want to prep check this guy and go back and find all the things he has done to you because he hasn't done anything really in the session. He did something this morning that you missed in the beginning rudiments and so forth and et cetera, ad nauseum. Yeah, all those things are true. But you'll ask something like this, you see. Most of the time you get away with it. So you say, in this session, have I missed a withhold on you? No, clank. Thank you, I will check that on the meter. In this session, have I missed a withhold on you? Clank. What are we going to do? Well, you just enter a fishing or fumble period. That's what you do. I've been trying to work out this data to a something or other, and I have a package question which serves as a middle rudiment. In this session, I won't give you this package question. I'll start writing it down. It would be something like this. In this session, have you withheld, invalidated, or suppressed any datum about listing or anything about listing? You understand? I'm talking about just giving you an example of a package question. And you're going to name each one of these things as you go by, and you'll get the fall, see? And you watch for the one that falls. That's very smooth. Otherwise, you're left in a fish and fumble period. But I don't care how perfect you make auditing, you'll still have fish and fumble periods. You say, well, just a minute, let me check this over on the meter. Withhold, invalidation, suppression, untruth, half-truth, impression, impress, damage, command, wrong command, I haven't answered a command, meter. In this session, have I failed to find out something you were doing about a meter? Clang! And he says, yes, thanks. I'm sitting here fiddling the can so that you'd get the goal to have more women because I always get such a bang out of running that kind of stuff. You know? And you say, well, thank you. Thank you very much. I'll check that on the meter. In this session, have you tried to influence the meter, whatever it is? That's clean. In other words, there's the fish and fumble period. You actually sort of run a little assessment. So you could have a package question in the middle rudiments, which would run a nice assessment for you. But if it were too long, you'd get lost. Now, if you're going to have such a package question, remember you're going to have to repeat it.
So it had better be fairly standardized. I'm telling you in this lecture how you figure these things out rather than giving you a bunch of packed data, you understand? Now, there'll always be a fish and fumble period in prep checking, as far as I can figure it out. Otherwise, for the sake of smoothness and gallantry, you're throwing away efficiency. You're just discarding the possibility of getting the right what question. You sit there and look at Mr. Meter. You say, all right, let me test out a few questions here now. What about throwing baseball bats at cops? What about throwing things at cops? What about doing things to cops? That's it. That's it. What about doing things to cops? Now, you're just telling me about throwing a baseball bat at a cop. All right. When was that? See, that's a fish and fumble period. Well, frankly, doing a list and knowing it is a fish and fumble period, isn't it? Well, there's always these areas in auditing when you're trying to find something out. And the mark of a good auditor is that he goes ahead and finds these things out without throwing the rudiments wildly out. See, now, you could go at this in such a way as to throw them wildly out. I'll give you an idea. Well, this listing isn't going very well here because I don't think you've given him very many right items for this particular list. They don't seem to really be the kind of item that I would expect on this list. So this is sort of crude here. And although we've listed 1,285 items on this particular list, and we only have two items on these other three lists, I think what I'd better do is figure out some better wording for the goal we found. And see whether or not we can get this thing more adequately worded. Because this thing doesn't show a sign of blowing. We have 1,250 items, you see, all on this one list, you see, and shows no signs of anything happening. So I think we ought to go about it that way. And if that's all right with you, why, we will go back to the goals assessment. Now, what have I done to you in this session that you were upset about? Good. What was that? Yeah. Well, I didn't do that, you know, at the beginning of the session. Well, I think by the time you had done all that, you would have the PC ready for his, be measured for his straitjacket. Particularly as that type of auditing would have gradually led up with 825 withholds to the cubic withhold. That'd be very corny, wouldn't it? But the funny part of it is you can do some mighty wild, offbeat things in an auditing session if you do them very smoothly. Particularly if they are in the guise of letting you find out where you're going without giving the PC a bunch of missed withholds or making the PC withhold madly. The only thing you got to avoid is committing yourself to a cycle of action you can't complete. And if you commit yourself to a cycle of action you can't complete, of course you've had it. I'll give you the crudest, oldest example. What has your boss done to you? Thank you. What has your boss done to you? Thank you. What has your boss done to you? Thank you. What has your boss done to you? Thank you. What has your boss done to you? Thank you. What has your boss done to you? What's the matter with you? That has committed you to a cycle you dare not complete. I'll give you another old-time process. Mock up some unconsciousness, thank you. Mock up some unconsciousness, thank you. We get you over being unconscious all the time. Mock up some unconsciousness, thank you. Mock up some unconsciousness, thank you. Mock up some unconsciousness, thank you. What's the matter with you? In other words, that's committing yourself to a line of action you can't complete. We'll recognize that a question which lets the PC answer as a motivator in the middle rudiment is something you actually can't satisfactorily complete. It's all going to be astray. Something like this. You're going to say, in this session, have I missed a withhold on you? Yes.
See, you sit there like an idiot, man. Now, the wrong way to weight the thing is to throw it over onto a Q&A. That is always wrong, no matter what you do. It is always wrong. Let that be your guiding principle. So you say, good, thank you, I will check this on the meter. In the session, have I missed a withhold on you? That's dirty as a dish rag. Thank you very much. Now, in this session, have you been up to something I didn't latch on to? He says, yes. All right. Good. Thank you. I will check the meter on that. In this session, have you been up to something I didn't latch onto? That's dirty. Thank you. All right. What have you been up to that I didn't find out? Oh, all right. Good, I will check that out to meet you. What have you been up to that I didn't find out about? Thank you, that's clean. See, the mistake you make is always beginning a cycle which you feel would be very unsatisfactory to complete, but the big mistake would be failing to complete a cycle you started. Don't kid yourself. You're going to find yourself in an old bunch of Western tales by old Charlie Russell, a Western painter. He had an old plainsman named Bab, and Bab was talking about the time he was being chased by the Sioux Indians, and he got into a canyon. There was 10,000 Sioux came boiling in through the front of the canyon, you know, filling it up from wall to wall. He kept backing up further and further into the canyon. He finally looked around over his shoulder and said, Box Canyon. It's totally cleaned off. Old Bab sits back and relaxes and doesn't go on with his story until somebody prompts him and says, well, Bab, what the hell happened? Oh, he said, they killed me. That's where you're going to find yourself someday. Back up that Box Canyon. There's no way out of it. Well, let me tell you, the way you never get out of it is with Q&A. You just never get out of it with Q&A. Ask the right auditing question is the way to prevent Q&A. It's all right for you to sit there and tell me, all right, Ron, go on and invent the exact perfect wording that always keeps us from never getting into a Q&A situation. I don't know. I don't speak Chinese. I couldn't invent it in Chinese, so why do you demand I invent it in English? Now, the joke of the thing is I can give you a good approximation. I can give you a good code situation. I can give you something that's probably completely abrasive about the thing. Let me tell you, someday or another, you're going to run into somebody who is doing something weird, because PCs can invent them faster than you can cure them up, man. And you had better know the principles back of the auditing command, the perfect auditing command, quote unquote, as well as the command itself, because you find yourself in a situation where the perfect auditing command doesn't pull the withhold. You say, where am I at? Well, you're at a position where you have to develop an auditing command which does get the PC to give you whatever the PC is doing, and which gives you at once the only real mistake that you can make, which is to fail to complete the cycle of action and to do a Q&A.
If you Q&A at that point, why, you've lost that much of the PC in the session. Now, you don't always notice that a PC has gone out of session because they sometimes drift out of session little by little, tiny by tiny by tiny. And the total aggregate of it is the guy is miles out of session, but he's gone on such a gradient scale, hardly anybody noticed. It's like the prisoner that escaped from the jail. Just every day, they were supposed to be sitting on their bunks at the last inspection. And every night, when the guard came by, this was an actual escape, by the way, from Alcatraz, of all places. The prisoner was an inch closer to the door. And he gradually built it up so that the guard got so used to that that he had a prisoner actually standing at the door at the time when the last inspection was made, you see. And finally, the prisoner was able to stand at the door and keep the automatic lock from going shut, opened the door, and walked out and swam to San Francisco. I think they elected him mayor. Anyway. A PC can drift out of session. You should know what he's drifting on. He's drifting on his feeling he cannot communicate to the auditor. That's what he's drifting out of session on. And a way to throw somebody wildly and almost permanently out of session is just lower the bars on him to prove to him conclusively and forever, and I, from there on out, that he will never be able to communicate to the auditor, or he will never be able to tell any of his withholds. You start punishing somebody for getting off their withholds, and you produce this immediate and direct result. The fellow feels then he can never be audited. Why? That is, you see, you're dealing with the actual machinery of the mind. You're dealing with the actual responses of the mind. We're not playing with kid stuff here, you see. We're not playing with psychology or psychiatry or other dirty words. You see, we're actually functioning right straight on the middle buttons of the mind. And that is communication, withholds, missing withholds, that sort of thing. And the person will stay in there and pitch and do almost anything under the sun, moon, and stars for an auditor that he can communicate to. He'll almost take anything off of an auditor he can communicate to. You see me run a session someday that looks awful rough to you, and you wonder, how in the name of God is that PC still in session? If you thought emotion, mis-emotion, arguments, things of this character, if you thought these threw people out of session, and if you thought that being kind and sweet and good as an auditor keeps somebody in session, you should watch a good, knock-down, drag-out session by somebody who knows better than to miss a withhold. And that is a pretty fantastic session. I've done this, you see. I've asked an auditing question. The PC doesn't speak Chinese. The PC speaks English. I've asked an auditing question, and I demand that that auditing question be answered. And go on and on, demanding it be answered. See, the PC is trying to answer some other question, and just never permit the cycle to shift in any other direction than to a perfect completion of the answer of that auditing question. Cheer the PC up. Say, yes, yes, you can talk to me about any of those things. That's fine. I'm glad to hear about that. Fine. And so forth. But I ask you if you'd ever seen a rat, and you keep talking to me about hats. PC will even come upscale on something like that. They say, what the hell do you know? This guy listens to me. You know, he listens. That's true. I did talk to him about hats. He asked me if I ever seen a rat. And I said, girls in their teens wear thick hats. I did. I said that. And he heard it. But I heard him. And therefore I ought to tell him whether or not I have seen a rat. And I can tell him that because he'll listen. Proves it because he knows that I didn't answer the question. Yeah, I've seen a rat. There, that PC gets against my mind. I was up for half an hour. There was nothing but a confounded dogfight going on in the room.
That was because the person always insisted upon that the answer to the auditing question was given. But you have to be very, very smart and hear your own questions, because the PC very often answers your auditing question. And when you don't get an answer and don't realize it's an exact answer, and you refute it, well, you've had it. But by permitting him to answer something else beside the question asked, you also throw the rudiments out. And that's not a Q&A. I'll repeat the auditing question. What have you done? Done. Not what have you thought about doing. I ask you something you've done. Oh, yeah, you did, didn't you? Guy listens. Good auditor. Funny part of it is that the cycle, the completed cycle of action, must take place. The cycle of communication must occur. It must go all the way through. But only on the subject which the auditor's introduced, otherwise it's a complete miscontrol. And it isn't a response to what was asked. So if you think you can sit there and be kind and you say, well, have you ever seen any rats? And the PC says, yes, I've seen a lot of girls wear thick hats. And you say, well, good, because Ron always said that you mustn't Q&A and you have to accept the PC's response. Don't be surprised if at the end of a half an hour of doing this kind of thing, your PC is not in session. Because the withhold in this case you have created, and the withhold is the right answer to your auditing question. Yeah, this thing falls on both sides of the fence. Therefore, there is a thing called control, there is a thing called the right answer, and so forth. So you must ask a question, this is the rest of it, you must ask a question that can be answered, and then complete that cycle of action of getting that question that you ask answered. And don't buy any other answers. If you do that smoothly, man, PCs will just do almost anything for you, including go clear. But you see where the tightrope walk is. How do you keep the PC in session while not permitting the PC to give you the wrong answer to the auditing question, when you have to be smart enough to know when he has given you the right answer, and when he has given you the right answer that you buy it and you don't challenge him? I'll say this, at least once you're going to find yourself sitting there gaping. The PC is absolutely right. He has answered the auditing question, and you have developed the whole thing into a dogfight. You said, do you have a present time problem? And the PC said yes. You know, that kind of a situation. But it'll be in some other guise. You'll be prep-checking somebody, and you'll say, well, did you ever really know your mother? Why you ask that, God knows, you see. And the PC says, well, Actually, I don't know. Well, the question is, did the PC answer the cycle? Is it part of the cycle? Is that a right answer? And you go up in smoke, and then you finally look back at your question, and you realize that he's giving you the only possible answer he could give you under the circumstances, and that is the answer to the auditing question, and you're the one who's thrown him out of session. There's two ways now he can go out of session. One is you complete the cycle of action, quote unquote, or the cycle of communication on a wrong answer. Of course, the right answer is now a missed withhold. Or you fail to complete the cycle of action on a right answer, and of course now the right answer is a missed withhold. Now that is the tightrope walk which you walk. And you should know exactly what you're doing with an auditing question. Now, when you see a session running off the rails, when you see a session doing peculiar and odd and strange things, and the PC doesn't look right with your auditing, don't look at the PC as a peculiar ape. Don't develop that. And neither develop a good communistic self-criticism.
Don't develop that either. Just look at the questions which you're asking in a session and ask it to yourself if they are answerable by this PC and if you are accepting the right answers that the PC gives you here. Just look at the whole thing on a cycle of action on a communication line. Say a cycle of communication. Is it complete? Have you asked a question? Has the PC answered the question? Have you then responded in such a way as the PC knew you answered the question? And have you straightened out what you were trying to straighten out? Well, if you've done all those things and so forth right, and the PC is getting worse, then I'll let you in on something. Something very, very tremendous. It must be his environment that is caving him in. Now, the way it goes, what you've got to reconcile yourself to is your PC drifts out of session, something's going wrong. Yes, you're doing something that is failing to complete that communication cycle. Doing something that appears to a Q&A. You're doing something like this. Could be in your earliest sessions that you've inherited a PC, of course, that has been mucked up with this kind of thing, and you have to straighten out the PC's communication cycle and that sort of thing. But if you have to go on straightening out a PC's communication cycle, if you have to go on patching the PC up, if you have to go on crowding him in session after session, if you have to go on sweating blood over this PC, look at your own wording in your auditing and this lecture, and you will have the answer. You'll be able to analyze. It's a very ordinary thing to analyze. I mean, it's a very easy thing to analyze. Funny part of it is, it'll be as crazy when you finally see what you were doing as this business. Since the last time I audited you, have I missed a withhold on you? And that isn't quite a question, don't you think? So, that has been followed by this, that, and the other thing, and lifted out. And then one day, all of a sudden, you get the right question. And the right question is, since the last time I audited you, have you done anything that you are withholding? And the PC says, and so on, so on. You say, my God, my God, my God. Well, remember something. There's every period between session has been missed. You've walked into a lousy auditing situation then. You see, you've got a ghastly thing staring you in the face that's always going to be coming back up. It should be prep checks. So you have to prep check some rudiments. You see that? But mark my words, it'll be something like that. It'll be something the auditor is doing that the PC cannot respond on, and the auditor isn't finishing the cycle with or can't finish the cycle with. If you get that down pat, you'll be able to analyze your own auditing. You'll be able to analyze auditing in general. You'll be able to tell why PCs are improving or not improving. Only thing TRs do is get you to improve your skill in handling these things, so you're not taken by sudden surprise and so forth. So these responses are very usual and natural. But I always think it's best to know the principles underlying these natural responses. And there are some very solid ones. Okay? Thank you. Thank you for staying over.